over to the next item.
Item number 27, from the Director, Office of Performance, Strategy, and Budget, Department of Administrative Services, submitting a 2013 appropriation transfer packet for the December 2013 cycle.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, there are 18 fund transfers included this month. There was one fund transfer in the draft packet back during agenda setting time related to a DOT grant for work on Layton Avenue that has been pulled out. I understand that grant was pulled out of a TPW committee last week, so that's the reason it's gone from 19 to 18. There are two receipt of revenue fund transfers, both for grants in the Office of the Sheriff, one contingency fund transfer related to what we just discussed. There are seven capital improvement fund transfers. One of $30,000 for the Grant Park Pedestrian Bridge, one of $50,000 for the County Grounds Chilled Water, $60,000 for the air system at the COG Center, $130,000 for the bear service exhibit at the zoo, $150,000 for the courthouse access automation project, $700,000 for safety building improvements, $860,000 split between the domestic violence project and the Office of the District Attorney, and $660,000 for the Rawson Avenue pump station. There is one interdepartmental fund transfer, transferring $140,000 from the Office of the County Board to the Office of the County Clerk and the Office of the County Executive. There is one departmental other charges fund transfer, $14,000 for the Parks Impress Fund. And there are six departmental fund transfers, one in the Office of the Clerk, moving $6,000 to purchase microfilm services, $30,000 in the Office of the Treasurer, $50,000 in Community Business Development Partners for contract services, $93,000 in DOS procurement for temporary help, $419,830 in DOS IMSD, to pay consultants for work that has been done due to vacancies, and $562,000 in fringe benefits, shifting costs from health care for retirees, employees, to the DOIN pension payment. Any specific questions on any fund transfers? I'll be happy to answer them.
Supervisor Hopps?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fudge, I believe I've seen some references. Can you expound upon the fund transfer that came from Transportation Committee, please.
Sure. And Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I'll likely defer to the department. As I understand it, there was some, if you'll give me a moment to find it, she won't be in here. There was a fund transfer to accept some grant revenue to pay for part of this project. I understand from the Highways Division that there was an issue with that grant. The only communication I really received on it was that they requested that the fund transfer be pulled, which we did in submitting the new packet. So I would have to defer to the department for specifics on that.
Mr. Chairman, are there any presence?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Vince Masterson in my office can probably provide more detail.
Yeah. He was leaving.
I was going to go contact.
Never mind.
Sorry, are we? Is the question about something that is in or that's not in, and you're wondering why it's not in?
Yeah. Okay. Well, while he efforts at Supervisor Jurczyk, Supervisor Lipscomb, and Supervisor Schmidt, are questions?
Well, yes. Item one on that Grand Park Pedestrian Bridge, which had a very unfortunate history here. But if I'm understanding this correctly, that WP227 project is showing $30,000 being moved to other parks projects. Am I reading this correctly?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I believe that is correct. There's $16,376 being moved from the Lake Park South Lyons Bridge, $6,458 being moved from the Washington Park Boathouse Roof, and $7,186 being moved from the Sherman Park Boys and Girls Club. I believe that in all of those cases, those projects are substantially complete and that they're expecting surpluses in those projects.
So they're moving from those surpluses to the pedestrian bridge, because This is the project where we were supposed to have had FEMA money, which was very, very delayed in terms of the application process. Then the Seven Bridges was supposed to be repaired. Never got to Seven Bridges, so we put arts money in it. And it still is apparently a shortfall in the Grand Park. There's still more money needing to finish paying for that. Is that what we're in here, or is there an additional project?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I believe, as it says at the bottom of page 4 of the packet, that the bids on the project came in higher than were originally anticipated, and that's the reason for the fund transfer. Bottom of page 4, top of page 5.
And which page are you reading that from? 4?
Bottom of page 4, top of page 5.
Okay. I mean, again, it's just not consistent with which what I was previously told. Obviously, I want to finish paying for Seven Bridges, so I'm not going to complain about that. But it's just interesting the way we get information. Still continues. These fund transfers continue to be an area that I quite frankly struggle with, and I've been on this board over 5 years now. Thank you.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the fund transfer packet is always the most interesting to me because there's all kinds of nuggets tucked away. This one in particular, one of the sort of themes I see in it is the extent to which there are transfers from salaries and wages to professional services and contracts because of vacancy or whatever, all of the issues we've had in terms of, retaining talent and having people who have the skill set that for the latest initiatives. One in particular that catches my eye is it's F4. It's on page 274. And this is the pertinent portion of it is an $80,000 transfer from salaries and wages to a professional services contract on procurement. And I guess the reason it's interesting to me is because I've been here through the administration's tenure, and I keep hearing about this, and it seems to be such an issue, and yet we're just now getting to the point where we're going to pull in professional services, a consultant at $80,000. I thought that was the that was sort of how we were sold on. It was one of the issues I heard in terms of Mr. Farley, that was his expertise, and then I was told we needed to. There was a desire to bring someone in who really understood procurement, and so I believe they made a hire a year or two ago there, and yet we still are clearly suffering from issues there, and all the appeals that are in front of us are sort of a indication of that, I think, that we've had some problems or that there's a at least the vendors are seeing that they feel we have some problems. Now, obviously, those are all different issues, and some of them they'll all get sorted out one way or another. But I guess I'd like some response as to the administration's strategy, or I thought that we were taking care of it by hiring people, but now even at this late stage, it appears that we're going to hire more consultants to help us figure out best practices. But I thought that was our strategy, was to bring people in house who had that capacity. So I'm trying to understand when will we get our hands around this issue, particularly the administration. When will you have your hands around it?
Mr. Fallon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and supervisors, I'm hoping that we might be able to get the procurement director down here to be able to be a little bit more direct, more so than I can. But I know that, as it's noted in here, right, that what it's doing is fulfilling a bridge through temporary services, right, with the expectation of staffing. So we have had some challenges in terms of getting the staffing we needed in place. And the relatively new 1 year in procurement director has been doing a pretty good job in getting the infrastructure in place in that group. But the process is still being worked on, and I hope that he might be able to get down here. I'm sure someone's up there right now trying to get him to come down here and give you a little bit better answer. But I know that he's working hard in getting that staff fully taken care of. We just actually hired someone recently to fulfill one of those positions.
Yeah, I think your answer is responsive to the $13,000 in temporary services, which I actually am not questioning or highlighting. I mean, uh-huh. To the extent that you have vacancy, you got to fill it somehow. I'm really trying to understand the $80,000 for the sort of the analysis of Milwaukee County procurement practices as compared to industry best practices. I guess I assume that when we hired a director that was a qualification that we looked for in a director. And so it might be a little problematic for the director to come down and answer for the fact that, you know, he thinks he needs a consultant when in fact it seems to be a question for the administration. Was that not what you hired the director to do? Or when you hired him, was it always the expectation you were going to need this?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, I'm again hoping that he can come down here because I don't think he's okay. Well, then maybe we can get him up, and because again, I think it's less around us hiring, retaining him specifically to shore up his expertise or lack thereof, but more in terms of an extension of that capability.
There you are. Would you like him to ask his
Mr.
question
Lee,
again?
Or? Yeah, let me try
yes,
to
go ahead.
Be chairman supervisors. I wasn't listening to the streaming, so if you could bring me up to speed in regards to your question, it would be greatly appreciated.
I'm questioning the professional services contract, a consultant to help us with best practices, comparing ourselves to the industry best practices. I guess I was under the impression that that's what we got you for, and prior to you, that was Mr. Farley's big thing and experience, and yet I don't know, maybe he was busy doing other things, but we're a couple of years into this whole thing, and now I'm hearing we're going to go do a study. I don't necessarily disagree with that, given sort of what we've been through, that perhaps we need it, but I'm just wondering if the administration has really got their arms around this and what the strategy is.
Okay. Chairman, supervisors, thank you for the opportunity to respond. The request for funding related to a high-level overview of our procurement practices here within Milwaukee County is directly related to gaining some expertise in benchmarking against other municipalities and entities of our size, drawing upon the expertise of individuals that can assist my particular area, to be candid with you, in relationship to providing some structure and framework as it relates to such specific issues as we are facing, as you may be aware of, related to appeals. What is who versus just taking my word for it, what is the best practices within governmental entities in regards to the appeal process? A secondary one that I would like review and assistance on mining additional information is when is information and when should information be publicly available in respect to submissions for requests for proposals. I think recently we've faced that particular one. Additional insight, it would relate to spending limits and governance in those particular areas. So really what I'm asking for is reasonable funding I don't believe that this is the amount that will be used, but I certainly wanted a backstop so that I didn't have to appear. Initial efforts would probably run in the $15,000 range for their assistance. It's a well-recognized procurement group. So again, what I'm seeking the funding for is for some backstop and development of framework and structure so that we can bring before the board recommendations in regards to ordinance and policy changes. Specific example that I can relate to is in our non-discriminatory sections of the ordinance, Chapter 5617. For example, it still refers to minority business enterprises and women-owned business enterprises, and we haven't had that, to the best of my knowledge, within the Milwaukee County ordinances or procurement practices for an extended period of time. So an attempt to go through all the chapters that relate to procurement, a review, a potential consolidation, and recommendations as towards what are best practices within governmental entities. So it was a high-level framework and review of our policies and procedures here in Milwaukee County, so that moving forward we can resolve the issues that I think have been so painful here, specifically related to, as I gave you an example, appeals, requests for information, when should it be released, negotiations, and also related to, I think, my year here to get my legs underneath me. I've had to face committees related to the differences in related to Chapter 56 acquisitions versus Chapter 32 acquisitions. I sat before a specific supervisor here that could not understand why I could not give him information, and it was according to ordinance. But yet another individual, an acquisition related to Chapter 56, totally silence on the issue, so it's fair game at any given time. I think we should prepare ordinances that give clarification. Also, I would like to add insight as it relates to, I think some supervisors have also had a request related to, should we provide within our procurement practices, I think the word that was used is community values and our preferences. And if those should be in place, certainly be an opportunity at that particular time to do that also. Hopefully I've answered your question, at least what I would like to accomplish through this effort.
I think you actually maybe opened my mind up to a couple of other issues that maybe I'm not ready to get into today. But I guess I'm trying to understand what the genesis of it. Was this sort of always the expectation, or is this brought about by the quantity of appeals we've had, or where to come about, and what are we expecting to...
Okay. Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I'm going to ask Pat to respond to that, but I think he's probably going to say, from my vantage point, for sure, a combination of both. Actually, Supervisor Jurczyk had brought this issue up in terms of how do we incorporate community values. And we had one of the takeaways out of that conversation was how do we get our arms around just something like that. So in my one-on-ones with Pat, we've had these discussions, and they range from the continuum of a conversation that came out of a committee meeting in terms of shared values to some of the challenges that we've had in front of you, trying to navigate through the complexities and conflicts around the ordinances. So From my understanding in the transition and working with Pat Farley, that he didn't articulate that this was an anticipated vision on his part that we would be eventually hiring someone to help us navigate through this, but I think it was came over through a series of educations through committees meetings.
Chairman, supervisors?
Do you want to respond to
that? Yes. I'd like to give an example. For example, I can see where Director Lee is stymied by our ordinances. Ordinances sometimes, part of ordinances call for non-disclosure of panel members related to those who are scoring an RFP, and some such information could be or maybe not be shared in closed session, but it's there. And I, for example, had indicated to him a time or two that I'm not voting for this unless I get more information related to that. So the ordinances can be conflictual, and I see that there is a genuine desire to get rid of some of that conflict and look for clarity. This is something that was decided long ago by a different boards. So I generally feel for what he's talking about, for what he's indicating. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, supervisors. Yes, I believe that was always the case in regards to my position to bring forward potential changes and operational adjustments within the procurement activities here in Milwaukee County. I can candidly tell you that since the first day of my employment, sitting on my desk is, for example, the American Bar Association's guidelines for best procurement practices within the governmental entities. I could bring that forward to you today to implement as ordinance, but I think it would probably be prudent in order to continue to evaluate how we can possibly adapt these to the specific needs of Milwaukee County. So a direct answer to your question is, yes, it was always part of the plan. Was it certainly brought over the last few months to at least my particular office? Was it brought to bear in regard to some of the difficulties that all parties in this enterprise are facing related to issues such as appeals, best practices related to RFPs, evaluation of RFPs? They've gone well and have been done well, but I think if we can make an evaluation and bring before you changes that will make it better for all parties here, I'm in hopes that the opportunity that I'll be able to provide you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the administration, as you know, when you reference, you know, the Bar Association manual or whatever, does the administration know where they want to go in these changes, and they're you're going to hire a consultant to tell us that, so that, you know, you'll refer to them that they told us to make the change, it's best practice, or do you really need them to help lead you in the direction of what changes are necessary? I guess I'm really trying to understand the necessity of the consultant as opposed to do we have in-house expertise. I mean, it seems like you were, without much preparation, you were able to kind of outline all the issues we've run up against in your tenure here, and we might all add one or two of our own, but it seems that those are pretty well known, and then the question becomes, how do we respond to it? And the administration, and my fear is that if the administration has a direction they're looking to go on that already, and they just need a consultant to validate that,
no.
that the tendency has been towards less information for the legislative branch. So I am concerned that we're going to
that we're going to pay somebody to create a process that supposedly insulates this from politics, but it in fact just moves it inside the administration.
Chairman, supervisors, I can be direct and candid in saying that I have been given no specific direction nor any push, shove, or encouragement to head in any particular direction. I'm only seeking for my particular office, with the limited capacities that we do have running a day-to-day operation, for some minimal additional arms and legs in order to provide some impetus, some structure for this particular effort. I believe we do potentially have possible skill sets spread across Milwaukee County. There's some people within the Corp Council that have a great deal of expertise in regards to procurement and have done it actively. There are people in the departments that have interest in making this better. And again, am I asking for a McKinsey study or a Deloitte study that in other places that I've worked have run into $300,000-$500,000 in scope? No, I'm not asking for that. All that I'm asking for is some minimal funding. Again, funding that we had within our department related to some buyer positions and some administrative positions. So all that I'm asking is some taking those funds, buying some expertise for that in that particular area. In other words, I'm not asking to take funds that we were going to be using for chairs, equipment. I'm asking to use funds that would have been used for buying expertise or buying activities and a one-time outsourcing to get my legs underneath me in relationship to providing some framework and structure. For the minimal amount that I'm looking for, am I anticipating an extensive, thorough, and exhaustive review of what we need to address in Milwaukee County? Absolutely not. We'd be talking well into the six figures if we were looking for that. All that I'm looking for is to provide a guidance template, a reflection on best practices in other particular areas. And to go back to the original question, Chairman and Supervisors, no, I have no reason to believe, at least from my experience and people that I've had conversations with in relationship to this, I am not been given any go find somebody to rubber stamp what we want to do, because at least right now what we want to do is what I've been self-directed to do based upon my experiences and my view of what I've seen so far within my limited year here in Milwaukee County. And so going back to one of the chairman supervisors, one of the original questions is, why does somebody that is supposed to have come here with expertise asking for more expertise? All that I'm asking for is some assistance in this particular area as it's been identified by me in the last, certainly within the last few months with the consternation that's been going on, but certainly over the last year. So this is not looking for a rubber stamp. I have a passion to do and find out what I can do in order to facilitate best practices here at the Milwaukee County so that we can have a robust procurement of goods and services, sound contracting, and the transparency that is required in order to make everybody comfortable that we're doing the best job that we possibly can, delivering to the citizens of Milwaukee County what they need.
Okay. Any other questions? Supervisor Johnson,
I have no question. I move approval of item 27. I move to adopt item 27.
No,
the whole package.
Supervisor Schmidt?
I have one more question before going into that. So the very last one, F6. I want to try to understand here. Is this an ongoing thing? Is this the 100 employees or so that is not under our system? And I guess I'm looking for numbers. How many employees or previous employees that was from Doane Hospital? But here it says in the second paragraph, if people are looking, that these employees shifted to another. I don't know what URMS is, by the way. A joint venture between Crater Hospital and Doane Hospital. So what I'm trying to figure out is they went to a different health and pension retirement system than we have. So we have to make up because there's increases, the market, you know, they're not getting the return. So I guess I need a little more clarification on that.
Mr. Mandel?
Yeah.
That's outside our system, but we have to support them because we,
right.
Because we hold on to them forever.
Yeah, when county, this goes back to
95 or
89, 90. So this was actually the, and I'm not going to remember, it was the lab technicians and radiology departments. And so what they decided to do is create a joint venture at the time between Frederick and Milwaukee County. And in the creation of that joint venture, these employees no longer were Milwaukee County employees. They became employees of this joint venture. The agreement was, though, that they would maintain all of their same pension benefits that they had as Milwaukee County employees. And the requirement was that the county would pay for 90% of the cost. What we're starting to see now, and with these, I've asked them to get me the actuarial analysis earlier. The actuarial analysis for I was late getting it to Josh this year, but he was able to make an adjustment in the budget for 14, but they got me the analysis, I think, in November last year for 13. So November of 12 for 13, which was too late for the budget. They're now starting to put through, just like we are, the results from the 2008 losses. So the losses from 2008 are starting to roll into the plan now. It's not that we're adding new employees because nobody else could be added to this. It was, in essence, a closed plan with just the employees that came there. So it's not like they can hire a new person and they become responsible under this plan. It's just related to those people who were there at that time. And those people are retiring, but what's happened with the losses in 2008, you know, it's starting to come back and looking at the analysis, and I've asked for separate analyses from them so I can look behind the details, but we get one report that tells us this is what we have to pay. So we're short by the amount, and that's why I'm asking in order to make the payment. So we're required, this is for the 90% payment. The budget for 2014 reflects the fact that of the increase related to this. I'm hoping that the pension plan can, their pension plan, because they're the ones that manage the investment, they're the ones that hire the actuaries, and we're just required to pay the 90%.
So, okay, just finally, I'm trying to understand. So there's roughly how many people, but they ventured with Frederick, so Frederick Hospital itself has their own retirement system, and these people are
this is this pension. This is a pension plan specifically for these people because it's called, you know, the pension plan for employees formerly part of Milwaukee County who came out to the joint venture under DynaCare and that.
So
I mean, it was it was originally called IRMS, United Regional Medical Services. So, and they decided to do a joint venture because Frederick had a radiology department and they also had a lab technician group too.
So is this an expense? And my last question would be that, and we know we have this. I mean, this is going to be ongoing, obviously, too, right?
Right. So it's ongoing, and there's still, I think it was over 100 employees that went there at one time. And I can't remember how many are still left employed, if it's 12 to 15 or 20. I don't have the exact figures. I can get them to you. But it's mainly from the fact that it's –
the way we do it also, the losses we had from 2008 are now starting to roll through our plan because we have a five-year period in which we start to take those into account. So that's what we're starting to see here is some of those. And that's being offset by some of the gains they've had in recent years, but that's why I want to look back behind the detail. And I've asked them for additional data.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Anything further on the fund transfers? Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if Mr. Masterson was able to come up with any information.
Chairman, Supervisors, thank you. I was able to get a hold of some of the highway staff, and they had indicated to me that they had pulled both the report, the request for the freight grant, as well as the related fund transfer in anticipation of a capital project, basically closeout fund transfer item that they anticipate to be submitting in the January cycle. So they kind of went together, so that's why they pulled it.
So one more. This would be then next month, next year, January. We're going to have something that will pay for the future work on East Layton? Is that my, that's my interpretation. I was wondering if I'm...
Chairman, Supervisors, it's my understanding that the project, if they go ahead with the... freight grant, you can still apply it to the project. You're fine in terms of the timelines.
Okay. Now, we previously authorized a fund transfer to pay for a diamond grinding on East Layton Avenue, and my impression was that would hold out until the project was complete. Although we couldn't do it this year because the bids all came back very high, it was obscenely high given the project. We bid too late in the year. My point is, Mr. Masterson, is this money, will this be used for that? Is it going to be used for something else?
Chairman, Supervisors, I guess to respond to your question, I would ask you to call or contact the highway staff. Clerk Wontok is the one who would be
sure.
Responsible for that.
Sure.
I've had puzzling non-responsiveness from NCDOT, which I love working with them, so I think something just, wires got crossed, is what I'll blame it on. So, very interesting. I'll dig further. Thank you, Mr. Metz. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Tyler, I just had one more question of you. Can you come up? I sort of got away when we started going on the, I don't know if you were able to hear our discussion this morning about items 13 and 14. I don't think you were in the room. The that would have been the reports on the JEQ, and then the report moving, doing some reclassification, reallocations. I don't think you were in the room for that.
Mr. Chair, I was not in the room.
Okay, we had a discussion where. Dr. Colton, I asked Dr. Colton if he remembered when Dr. Marine was here during the budget, and I asked if I had seen media reports that Eric Peterson was being paid $85,000, and Amber said no. And we've had a chance to look at the tape of that meeting, and she said no, he can't get paid that much because his pay line doesn't go that high. I said, so the media report was a mistake that he was making $85,000? Her response was yes. But then this report seems to indicate that that position was being paid $85,000. So how do we, what's your answer for that? I mean, was Ms. Marine just, was she lying, or was she, or what? She just didn't know.
Mr. Chair, I really can't respond to that. I think I was perhaps at the committee meeting at the time. I don't specifically recall what she had said.
We reviewed the tape. What she said was, let me get the transcript here.
But Mr. Chair, please forgive me, but I'm not sure what the purpose of it would be for me to
I figure you're the boss, right?
Not, and who was the one who made this comment?
Of sort of the whole, all these departments.
Is it Ms. Marine?
I guess what I think the theme that we've had today and in other meetings is We've had difficulty getting accurate information sometimes. Sometimes it's just we don't ask the right question, which can happen. In the case of my situation, it appeared I asked the right question but got a wrong answer. And, you know, it's kind of the people that you work with are not giving us information. And I don't know if they're lying to us or they're being instructed by you or the county executive to not share information with us or give us as little as possible. I think you're seeing frustration bubble over on the committee. And now we've got a situation where what she told us was a complete untruth.
Mr. Chair, I have not been directed, nor have I directed my staff to be unresponsive to the supervisors and the committee. And I'm not sure, again, I just for a point of clarification, if you don't mind, are you referring to Ms. Amber Marine?
Correct.
And Ms. Amber Marine is the county executive's chief of staff. So, again, I was here at the committee, and I don't recall specifically what she said. I work with her since she is she reports to the county executive, but
well, I guess from down here to the third, I view you as a team, county executive, you, Amber, the group, and you as an integral part of that team. Mm-hmm. So I figure you're in the room when decisions are being made generally, and that's appropriate. I have no problem with that. I've sent emails to the county executive, and they just don't get responded to for days or weeks or ever. So I just thought since I had you here and we're sort of on the record, I thought if I sent an email, it wouldn't get responded to anyway about how this happened. But perhaps you could relay that, and maybe Ms. Marine or the county executive could explain why she told the committee a certain person wasn't making that, and the media report that said he was wrong, when now it appears that in this report that's what he was making. Because that's a problem for me, because how can we rely on either what you say or these reports if then they aren't going to be the same thing?
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm happy to pass that on, and I just want to reiterate I have not received any direction from the county executive or the chief of staff on how I should be responding to the committee, and I haven't expressed that to my staff as well.
Okay. Thank you. Back to the fund transfers. Do we need to take action? Do we have a motion? Do we need a motion?
By Johnson.
Okay. Any further discussion on the fund transfers? If not, would you take the roll?
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to adopt prevails.